This is Sophia Rifkin-Haas talking about Kiran Desai's The Inheritance of Loss, pages 217 to 218. I chose this passage because I feel that it reveals the anger and confusion that exist within the characters in the novel and within India itself. I found it moving because it shows how Sai and her companions come to experience their own identities as a series of mismatched experiences. Desai muses on the emotional ramifications of colonialism while charting the physical, concrete wreckage in the form of the books in the library. I want to discuss how this portion encompasses what I see as some of the major themes in the book: colonialism, what it means to be foreign, the power of the written word, and the inescapable interweave of past and present, a dynamic relationship that informs every moment in a person's life and dictates the history of a nation. And finally, I would like to talk about forgiveness. I read the library as a metaphor for India, both spaces ripe with contradictions. The library is a place of opportunity and entertainment for Sai and her neighbors, promising fanciful escape. Just as India promises romance and treasure for the colonial powers and the voyeuristic tourists who flit through the violent streets constantly taking pictures. Yet, the library is also a place of decay. The books are rotting, and many are out of date, left untouched for years, forgotten. The description of the books disintegrating on the shelves reminds me of the description of the streets and houses of Kalimpong and the surroundings. The termites eating away at the books, creating, quote, maps of plumbing, not only situates the library in the dank world of the judge's house, but also it links the library to the characters' views of India as a dirty, disgusting place where people squat on toilet seats and defecation is a public exercise. The India of the library is the exotified India in the epics like Paul Scott's The Raj Quartet and MMK's The Far Pavilions, long melodramas authored by English writers. As everyone in Sai's party agrees, these colonial epics are not satisfying because the India presented within their pages does not correspond to the truth. But my question is, are Sai, Lola, Noni, or Father Booty really a part of that true India? Or do they even know what that true India is? Even though the characters are distressed, even angered by the paternalistic Orientalist representation of India in these books, they cannot be separated themselves from this attitude because they are products of it. It is in this passage that Sai finally comes to realize that she is very much a part of colonialism. The venom is in her blood, and it is for this reason that Jian has come to hate her. I'd be interested to know whether you all think that by the end of the book, perhaps Sai has moved past or worked through some of the constrictions imposed on her by colonialism. The accounts of travel in India that line the shelves of the library do begin to shake Sai's perception of her own experiences, propelling her to examine her situation critically for the first time. She appears to see her own precarious identity, the fact that she is not Indian exactly, but also not European either. She also realizes that she is a part of a long line of souls crushed by colonialism, and that her loneliness and alienation have been premeditated. Just as the judge has been throughout his life, Sai is a foreigner in her own land, and this is no accident. But rather than confront these painful realities, however, Sai, Lola, Noni, and Father Booty would prefer to escape India and Indianness by reading books by Englishmen for Englishmen about England. They live vicariously through the English ladies and their butlers, wishing to cleanse themselves of India in the civilized reign of the English countryside. In effect, Desai shows the characters' minds having been subjugated. They are continually trying to distance themselves from India, from the India they see on the streets, desperate not to see themselves as part of the inherent conflicts of their country. Are we as readers supposed to judge these characters and their wish for escape? I'm not sure what to think about Noni's interpretation of sin in Christianity as opposed to Hindu philosophy. Also, what is the significance of Crime and Punishment being the book that sparks this debate? The subsequent discussion that the women have about the nature of forgiveness and guilt begs the question, is forgiveness possible in such a conflicted world, or are Sai and the others condemned to a life racked with guilt?